Blog Talk Radio. marcher, ni marcher, ni marcher.
Je dois ni marcher, ni marcher, ni marcher.
Je dois ni marcher, ni marcher, ni marcher.
Je dois ni marcher, ni marcher, ni marcher.
Faut aller marcher, ni marcher, ni marcher.
Faut aller marcher, la vie n'en est bon Dieu.
Faut marcher, non.
La vie n'en est bon Dieu.
Je dois marcher, non.
La vie n'en est bon Dieu.
Avant les aides va dire à on gaffillé.
Il a donné non.
Avant les aides va dire à on gaffillé.
Il a donné non.
Avant les aides va dire à on gaffillé.
Il a donné non.
Et
non.
Et
non.
Et
non.
Et
non.
Balai pour nous dire, oh, 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 Azunke parin legbahe, azunke, azunke parin legbahe, parin legba me la jan kase washo, azunke valre le parin vodou legba,
azunke parin legbahe,
azunke.
Parine, vaudou les bas. Thank you. divine, all blessed, peace and love, joy and prosperity. You are listening now live to the Divine Prince, Pan-African spiritualist, practitioner, author, and advisor, Pudu Obeya Lokua, sharing with you in all things spiritual, mystical, metaphysical, cosmic, universal, evolutionary, revolutionary, healing, and holistic, from a Pan-African hoodoo world spiritualist perspective. Understanding that all is indeed a blessing if you can just see beyond the veil, for it is all just an illusion and a test. And one of the greatest divine mysteries of this life cycle. This is my constant prayer, my mantra, affirmation, reverberation, reiteration, and my reality. And it is crucial to the very foundation of my understanding, my teaching, my walk, and my work along this divine, all-blessed life path and journey. It is how I, the Divine Prince, make sense out of all that we are challenged with here in our daily existence on Mother, Father, Earth. And it is indeed my personal place of power and understanding. The place from where I begin, the place from where I realize and crystallize all endeavors, understanding that I alone create and co-create my divine destiny, and I alone create and co-create my divine reality. And so it is. Ashe. Today is Tuesday, July 24th, 2012, and I am emanating and vibrating with you and for you live, virtually, verbally, cosmically, quantum universally, from the working temple of the house of the Divine Prince, Thai Mecca, Thai Potions, and Hoodoo Central. In this legendary, historic, beautiful, and enchanted city of New Orleans, Louisiana, the land of my ancestors and those who came before me along this spiritualist Hoodoo Obeya life path and journey, passing down the great Obeya stick, along with the knowledge of the healing, life-giving herbs, roots, plants, rituals, and minerals. I appreciate you and your divine, all-blessed presence here live at 12 noon U.S. Central Standard Time here on Block Talk Radio, and always in archive at your leisure and convenience at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-divine-prince. My listening and calling number is area code 347-215-8967. 347-215-8967. When you are ready with your question, comment, or request, do press the number 1 on your telephone keypad, and I will be more than happy to assist you moving forward. My website, where I can be reached utilizing various means 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, operating in 360 degrees of well-documented revelation and manifestation, is www.houseofthedivineprince.com. Where I specialize in doing battle, difficult, and blocked situations of every type and endeavor, and I specialize in results. We will be forward with the Power Lunch, Hoodoo, New Orleans, Voodoo Secrets, and Recipes with the Divine Prince as we continue our discussion on time travel and deja vu. We will also be introducing today Crystal Time. I guarantee you've never, ever heard this before, but it will make complete sense to you. I will assist you in connecting the dots all the way back to Kemet and beyond and bring it forward. For indeed, we are natural, divine, all-blessed time travelers, It is in our DNA. It is in our structure. It is a part of who we are. We are inseparable from our God and God's body. We just need to be reawakened to the science. I will be forward with more of the Power Lunch with the Divine Prince here on Blog Talk Radio, remembering that all is indeed and truly a blessing if you can just see beyond the veils, where it is all just an illusion and a test and one of the greatest divine mysteries of this life cycle. Ashe. Aibobo and Ashe. Today yesterday I reintroduced time and some of the basic fundamentals of time. I suggested that, if you will, you Google through the wormhole with Freeman, the actor Freeman, and you will get a scientific basis for what time is and how time is measured, if you will. We talked about deja vu and the misunderstanding that the French had about deja vu being remembrances of some reoccurring memory, as opposed to a real-time memory, but from a linked or cross interdimensional space. You can easily Google Wikipedia string theory, which will talk about what dimension is and how we operate within a 11-dimensional structure in order to experience and have the quote-unquote reality, if you will, that we all realize. We talked briefly about disturbances and imbalances in time that can create or mimic diagnosable mental illnesses, but can also very well and often do very well have their basis in dislocation of time. There is I don't know if I should call it a new science, but a new understanding, if you will, of fractiles. Some of you metaphysicians are familiar with fractiles, and these metaphysical explanations come out of what is known as the M theory. And what they are the 11 dimensions, sort of broken down in a simplistic form. Our first dimension is our primary dimension, defines a line. The self-same line is a coordinate axis, the center of which is the infinite point. This is why we sort of see and understand time as being linear, as traveling in a straight line, having a point A, a point B, a point C, a beginning and an ending. But truly, and we're going to go into deeper detail as we move forward, a line is infinite, has no true beginning or ending point. We sort of accept a beginning and ending, but mathematically, scientifically, metaphysically, quantum metaphysically, magically, excuse me, it represents infinity. Our secondary or second dimension that we exist in order to be human and have our experience is called the secondary. And together with the primary, it defines a plane. It takes two lines coming together, meeting together somewhere to create a plane. And let me tell you, if I had any inkling of this back in high school, when they were teaching algebra and other forms of math beyond basic math, I would have paid more attention. Math was not one of my best subjects when I was a student in school, but it was through spiritual exploration that I was able to begin to make sense out of this stuff, if you will, that we were being taught, and being able to put it in a context that they clearly do not want us in large numbers to come to. This information, this is the proverbial fruit. This reignites and turns on your God consciousness, if you will. So this information has been protected, has been secreted, has been contained within the mystery, if you will. And there are several mystery schools, mystery houses. We know them. So the second plane of our dimension is the secondary. So it takes two lines, if you will, coming together at some point, two modes of consciousness coming together to create a plane. The third is tertiary, T-E-R-T-I-A-R-Y, tertiary, together with both the primary and secondary, and the tertiary. This defines the volumetric space of the sphere. We talk about in numerology and in magic, three being an offensive number, taking the primary and the secondary and coming together at a plane, if you will, creating an axis. With the two tertiary, you now have a space. And that space can be of various shapes, but still falls generally within a triangular, because you have three lines coming together to create these planes and now a space. So the fourth dimension would be time. Now, another way of looking at these first four would be width, length, depth, circumference, or radius, if you will, and then adding time to it. And time, as you heard me say yesterday, and as you heard Morgan Freeman and the scientists say on Through the Wormhole, time and space really cannot be separated. And in our society, even now, we are moving, just like we moved away from our old math and our old numbers to the metric, we're moving away from linear time to time-space, particularly as we grow in science and space travel and other sciences that require that level of understanding. We, at the math level, are beginning to move away from quote-unquote time to what is truly time-space, because time is contingent upon where you are located or where you're measuring from, if you will. There's a free site online, www.isstracker.com, which basically tells you in real time where the International Space Station is. And if you're familiar with this site, it marks longitude, it marks latitude, but it also marks miles per hour, miles, in order to define space, because ultimately everything is in movement. The space station is consistently in movement. In fact, it's moving at roughly 17,000 miles per hour. 17,000 miles per hour, the International Space Station is moving around the Earth, and then you have the Earth moving, and then you have the cosmos and the universe moving. So stagnation, things being sort of permanent, is really an illusion. It's a human created illusion. Ultimately, nothing is still. Nothing is not moving. Everything is consistently moving. It's our awareness that may or may not be in alignment with the movement. So again, we are, by nature, by design, interconnected to time and space. We are space travelers. We are time travelers. And I'm going to help you to understand how we function at that level on a regular, daily basis. This information will be pointless if I can't help you to use it to your advantage. So the fifth dimension is movement of primary, rotation of the primary axis by degrees around a conceptualized, remember that word, conceptualized, it's not fixed. The Earth is moving, and the Earth is not a perfect circle. We know that. The water moves, the Earth, the ground moves, everything is in movement. So it's not a perfect sphere. It's not perfectly circular. But it's in movement. Space is in movement. We are in movement. The International Space Station is in movement. So that next dimension would be movement of primary. Rotation of the primary axis by degrees around a conceptualized sphere or sphere. The line rotates with the infinite point being the pivot upon which the rotation occurs. We can put ourselves in that place. Life rotates with us at the infinite point being the pivot upon which the rotation occurs. It rotates around our experience, our understanding, our movement, if you will, of consciousness. Measurement along this dimension is done by comparing the new coordinate position with a starting or reference point. And this is very important. And the value of the difference between the two values being the measurement along this dimension. This information is important because as co-creators, as magicians, as spiritualists, as witches, whatever you want to call it, magi, Orisha priests, whatever, yamis, Ianifas, Ialochas, whatever, we're creating and recreating. But you have to have a place to, what are we changing? What are we healing? What are we fixing? What are we overcoming? That's your starting point. And often for many of us, our starting point is in the past hurt, the past trauma, the past victimization, the past experiences. So that's your starting point. That's your point of measure. So we have to exist in the past and the future simultaneously with the present in order to be co-creators. We have to be able to visualize, conceptualize a sphere of movement, which includes your starting point. Why are we here? What are we trying to fix? What are we trying to be delivered from? What are we trying to gain? So you have to have a starting point. My cupboards are bare. What is your future projection? So we have to be able to live in the future and see those cupboards and understand what it is that we need there. For those of us who shop with a grocery list, you know what I'm talking about. If you cannot conceptualize what's in your cupboard, what's in your refrigerator, it makes it much more difficult to make a list and not come back from the store with things you already have abundance of, or not have the things that you need, because they were not included in a part of the plan, a part of the program. The next, or the sixth dimension, is movement of secondary. Rotation of the secondary axis can be modeled fundamentally by the rotation of the secondary axis by degrees around a conceptualized sphere relative to the reference or starting position. The pathway, if you will, to get from point A to B. We know where we are. We know what we don't want. We know what the path is or was. We know where we're headed. Okay, but we've got to bring it into the present and put that into action. Taken together with the rotation of the primary dimension axis, life, as we experience it, can be modeled in one fashion as the complex rotation of a plane section within the conceptualized sphere, with the primary dimension axis line both rotating and serving as the pivot around which the rotation occurs. So you have to be able to see the path and remember it and understand it to know what you want and what you don't want. You have to be able to see and live and experience the future in order to crystallize it, in order to make it real, in order to conceptualize it. Like making a cake, you got to be able to know what a cake looks like in order to do the middle. You've got to know what a cake looks like in order to start the beginning, even though you don't see it when you're looking at two eggs and a couple of cups of flour and some milk, but you've got to know it enough to know what you're doing to come out with the right result. That's why it's important that we, you know, they say read the directions before you proceed. When we open new products, new electronics, read the directions before you proceed. You don't know what you don't know if you don't even know what you're dealing with. You don't know what you need or what could go wrong or what could go right if this is a new experience for you, if this is a new creation that we are manifesting. The next dimension that we live within in order to create our reality, which is also known in theoretical physics as the M theory, is movement of the tertiary. Remember, tertiary was that third dimension, that third line, if you will, creating that triangle, that two-dimensional pyramid. Movement of the tertiary, rotation of the tertiary axis can be modeled fundamentally as the rotation of the tertiary axis by degrees around the conceptualized sphere relative to a reference or starting point, with the center point being the axis around which rotation takes place, because action has to take place around here and now. It's the only time dimension we can actively operate within. Doesn't mean we can't affect the past or the future, because ultimately we are affecting the past and the future right now. But all our actions, all our magic, all of our ritual processes, all of our cleaning, all of our healing has to be done now, in this now moment. And it is ongoing, it is consistent. It is a part of our breathing. It's a part of our routine. It's second nature to what we do. But in so doing, you find yourself waking up, metaphorically, in another dimension where you don't even remember quite when you made the leap from the old place to the new, when you shook off the old stuff and took on the new. No one can quite tell you exactly the day, the hour, the time when the depression left. We just realized that it did. We just woke up and realized, you know, I'm not in the same place where I was before, where I have been. Not even quite sure when it happened. So it is important to be able to see time as we now know it, in this more spiritual, metaphysical context, and then be able to make the most appropriate moves and decisions to create and self-create the reality for which we are seeking. The next dimension would be pulse of time, expansion, contraction of time, modeled as a domain encompassing an oscillation or vibrational frequency of a conceptualized sphere in a direction at right angles to the surface. Spherical expansion represents energetic radiation in the following three dimensions, while spherical contraction represents energetic absorption. And I know that's a little scientific, but I'm going to make that very easy for you to grasp moving forward. But I'm going to wait until I bring in crystal time. I've got to take you up to understanding dimensions, interdimensionalism, and time before we can go into crystal time. And just to give you a preview, let's see, how can we look at this? Okay, many of you sort of know the most generic form of crystal, sort of a straight line object with a point at one end or both ends. Which sort of suggests sending out an energy like a laser point, a focused beam of light, if you will. But then we're also familiar with the crystal ball, which is spherical, which sends out a more even energy in all directions at the same time. Both are projections of energy, pulse of time. But one is more linear and one is more spherical. One is not better or worse than the other, but they have different forms, different purposes. So that next dimension which we occupy, according to theoretical physics, is pulse of time. The next is energetic radiation, absorption along primary. Well, to simplify that, that is the defining of our experience. Energetic radiation, absorption along primary. Oscillation along the line relative to a reference can be modeled fundamentally as a pair of points on the line, would be one on each side of the center, moving with equivalent but spacing between each of them and the center point. Note that different pairs of points can be moving frequencies along this axis, along the two following axes. Measurement is made by first establishing a reference, a starting frequency or oscillation, then comparing the test frequency or oscillation to the reference, as is true with the following two dimensions as well, which are the next two, the 10th and 11th dimension, energetic radiation, absorption along secondary, and energetic radiation, absorption along tertiary. To make that easy to understand and put that in English, you have a starting point, you have a destination that you're heading towards. You have to remember your starting point, you have to remember the path, you have to remember what you don't want in order to create what you do want. You got to be able to see the future, you got to be able to see what's coming ahead. But in the middle, your day-to-day experience, you're going to have that oscillation along line relative to a reference. So if your past experience was negative, the oscillation is you're going to be comparing negative to negative. Does this feel like, does this remind me of, is this similar to? But then you have that other oscillation, which should be pinging off what you want, the positive, the happy, the joy, the progress, the prosperity. And both of those oscillations are always happening at the same time. It's part of you being human. We talk about negative people and positive people. We are all negative and positive. But some of us choose to operate in the positive oscillation. We are aware of the negative just like you are. It's raining on you, it's raining on us. You're paying for gas, we're paying for gas. You're paying for electric, we're paying for electric. But our reference, frame of reference, is based not only on where we've been, but where we're going and where we are right now. So choosing to be fulfilled now secures fulfillment both in the past and the future. If you're following me and you're grasping what I'm trying to share here with you about time traveling and our natural ability and our natural operation within that realm, that frame of reference. Now I'm oversimplifying it for obvious reasons. You know, we have different people listening at different levels. Some got it, some already got it, some are trying to figure it out. You know, we only have 2 hours to work with and about 55 minutes left in this show. So certain things are being oversimplified, of course. And in time, we will work on and break down each part and each component. This is really a topic that I could do a year's worth of shows on. But I'm not going to do that because some of you would get bored. But I could literally spend a whole year doing the show every day breaking each segment All is a blessing. I'm not sure what happened, at what point I got cut off, but I do apologize. I am here with you. I am going to go to the phone line. I don't want to move ahead too quickly. I do have a caller. I believe you're calling in from, let me see if I know my area codes. 404, is that Milwaukee? Who's calling and where are you calling from? Area code 404, did you have a question or comment? Okay, area code 404, your hand is raised. So I assume that you had a question or a comment. If you do have a question or comment at area code 347-215-8967, you press the number 1 on your telephone keypad, and I would be more than happy to address you. I'm going to try one more time, and then I'm going to move forward. Area code 404, your hand is raised. Do you have a question or comment? Okay, we will move forward. The ability to understand time travel and how we operate in that requires many parts: time, dimensions, interdimensionalism, understanding imbalances of time, understanding gifts and blessings of time. Why time seems slower when you're younger and speeds up when you're older. All of these things are questions that, as a ritual practitioner, I thought about and many of you listening think about and process. Scientists think about and process these questions. Physicists think about and process these questions, as well as those of us within spirituality and religion. So the wealth of material contained within this subject is overwhelming, to say the least. And we're going to try and take it one step at a time without deviating too much and without losing the listener audience. Okay, I'm going to try and go back to the phone line once again. Mary Lou Who?
Yes,
did you have
hi.
A question or comment?
Well, sort of. My name's Mary Lou. I'm from New Orleans.
Peace and blessings, Peter.
And the stuff that you're talking about is what we try to talk about in our consciousness meetup group. I would love to have you as a guest speaker, if at all possible. I think I sent you my phone number yesterday. I don't know if you got it.
Where did you send it?
To the Divine Prince on Blog Talk.
Okay, now, I got about 6,000 pieces of mail in my Blog Talk box. So it's probably there, and I'll just have to fish it out. Something else you can do that would be a little bit more immediate is to go to my Facebook.com/TheDivinePrince.
Okay.
And then send me a private message and put it there. Are we friends on Facebook already?
Let me check. I don't think we are. I think I might have friended you yesterday.
Now, that's not possible because I'm already over 5,200 on Facebook.
Oh.
I really can't add anybody else. I can take subscriptions. I can take and answer mail and instant messages, but unfortunately, they're going to move that limit. I'm not able to add new people to my Facebook, but you can send me the mail with the information and links, and most definitely I'm going to respond to you.
Well, that would explain why we're not friends on Facebook.
Yeah, and I don't know why, you know, that's the case. Twitter has a little funny thing, too. You can't really befriend more people. You can't have, I think, more than 200 people beyond who's already friended you on Twitter. So once you hit a certain wall, unless, you know, several hundred people add you without you being responsive, they don't allow you to move forward. So Facebook doesn't do that, but what they do is they cut you off at 5,000. Now, I've noticed in the last couple of months, some of us have gone to 5,200. I know another person who's at 5,300, but I don't know how it's being done because they really don't let us do it. But Mary Lou, I certainly do appreciate you, and I'm looking for that mail.
Okay, I'll send it to you right now. And I look forward to talking to you soon.
All is a blessing.
All right. And I'm enjoying your show.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Area code 404. You're back. Hand is raised. Did you have a question or comment?
Hello?
Yeah. Peace and blessings. Who's calling and where are you calling from?
My name is Tasha. I'm calling from Atlanta. And I'm sorry, but I just caught like the end of your show. And so I really haven't been, I don't really know what the conversation is about. But
okay. That's fine.
I did want to call in to ask a couple of questions in regards to some things that I've been doing and some things that's been happening since then. Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. So I recently started, like, taking some spiritual baths using, like, the hyssop oil and a couple of different herbs and things like that. And I've been in deep meditation. I've been reading a lot on, like, the occult, and not the left-hand path, but even though I still want to kind of be aware of that. And recently there's a lot of things that's been happening, like a lot of bad things have been happening. My car broke down on me. The same day my car broke down, my boyfriend's car broke down. I lost my job, so my finances decreased over 65%. I ended a 3-year friendship that I had with someone that I was really, really close with. And I received, like, 4 tickets in a week. So it was just, like, a lot of different things was happening during that time. And I don't know if I kind of delved into something that could have caused some of those things to happen. But I've kind of been studying into this thing for, like, almost 2 years. And so I just wanted to see what your opinion was on that and what's your advice.
First, I'm going to agree with you. In fact, I'm very glad that you said some of the things that you said before I did. People aren't always ready to hear the truth. People are not always open to the truth. You seem to not only be open, but you've already arrived at the truth. And I'm going to give you some confirmation. Now, there are keywords. You know, we know internet and tagging, there are keywords. There's also keywords when we talk about religious and spiritual conversation. So I listen very closely to what you say and keywords that you use. Certain words can tell me what a person's religion is, what they've studied, what their level of study is, and how deep they've gotten. The use of the word occult right off the top suggests someone who barely scratched the surface. Occult is a European word. It's a very generic word. It doesn't suggest a path. It doesn't suggest a tradition. It doesn't suggest an organized spiritual system. And understand, I'm not talking about religion per se, but organized systems for addressing forces, spirits, certain forms of divination. They all are governed by certain forces. Just a quick example, tarot cards. We all generally know tarot cards, they have European symbolism. Not necessarily Egyptian, even though we know there are Egyptian decks out there, we know that there are Mayan decks out there, but generically speaking, we associate it with a certain culture, a certain path, a certain frame of reference of tradition. When we say Delagoon, we know we're talking about Lokomi, Santeria, Ifa. We know we're talking about cowrie shell. And we know there's certain things that go into play with that. So that's what I mean when I say keywords. You gave me several keywords that tell me a lot about where you are.
Right.
And then
right.
You gave confirmation by saying yourself, you know, I've been doing this for 2 years. I've been reading. Okay, so let me move on because you're right there with me. Have you opened yourself up to some forces? Absolutely. Anyone, whatever the religious choice is, whatever the spiritual choice is, If you're doing it genuinely, honestly, authentically, you're going to open yourself up to spirit forces. Even more so if you're doing it without direction. And I'm not saying that as a judgment or a bad thing, but you didn't use keywords for me that suggest that you had a mentor, a leader, a godmother, a Yalosha, a Babalao. And I'm not even using a specific path, which is why I'm throwing out several titles, Anana, whomever. It's like trying to teach yourself chemistry. That's a very volatile position to be in. And your spirit.
And the, and the funny thing is, as I'm having this conversation with you, my lights in my house are going on and off.
I'm not surprised.
I mean, my electricity has been good, like, forever, and now all of a sudden it's flickering on and off.
And I don't know how long you've been listening, but I want to reiterate, and people who listen to me know I am not a fearmonger. That's not the point of this conversation. But are you open now to forces that you may not understand, you may not have reference for? Absolutely. And again, you use the word occult. And we all know that the occult, in its stereotypical frame of reference, has been taken over by commercialism, mainstream society, to some degree European, and it's a hodgepodge of a lot of stuff. You can throw New Ageism in there. You can throw Christianity in there. And in our Western world, we sort of have a very arrogant way of addressing spirit and religion. You know, we can take it or leave it. We're committed or we're not. It might be important for you, but, it might take a different place for me. You know, all the different positions that we take on religion, spirituality. That's not the point I'm trying to make. The point I'm trying to make is absolutely, you've now opened up your head, if you will. Often when we take spiritual baths and certain herbs, there's a formula to that. And we're drawing certain forces, certain deities, certain energies to do very specific things. Another very generic way of looking at it is prayer. You have to be very specific about prayer. You just can't say, I want prosperity, and not put some parameters on it. Prosperity can take on many faces: financial prosperity, social prosperity, a credit prosperity versus having hard cash prosperity. There are many ways to address that. So when we open ourselves up to spirit and say, you know, I'm on the journey and I'm learning and I'm investigating and I'm studying, we're also opening ourselves up to forces, deities, jinn, angels, devils, humans, from all these different cultures, all these different traditions, all these different paths. And they're all served in different ways. They're all called for different purposes. So yes, I'm confirming you have. So my answer is, you're doing the right thing, but you need to make sure you get some guidance in there. Begin to make some decisions about which way you want to go and seek out some elders. Now, that gets very tricky for us here in America, particularly for African Americans. Genealogy comes into play. Lineage comes into play. Where you're initiating comes into play, with who, under what, where, all of that comes into play. Our past experiences with religion come into play. So for many of us, we're stuck in a limbo when it comes to that. We get very uncomfortable when it's time to make a choice, when it's time to even decide how to make a choice and where to go to make the choice. Obviously, it would be very prejudicial for me to say, call me. But, you know, call me, you know, call my godparents, you know, who are both available on Facebook. There's several elders out there that we can reach out to and really begin to commit to a path. Now, something else I want to say, committing to a path may not always be permanent. There are many of us who have been through many traditions. I've been through many traditions. I'm initiated into many traditions. My godmother, Mama Yeye, is initiated into many traditions. We got Fudoan. We got Lakomi. We got Obia. We got Christian, you know. So don't feel like you're doing the wrong thing to explore. I just suggest that you commit. You commit wholeheartedly, fully, 100%, and when Spirit says move, you move forward. If Spirit says, okay, I need you to make a left now, then make a left. But you've got to commit somewhere because you've got to have some parameters. You've got to have some rules. You've got to have some protections into place as you now open yourself up to all these energies and all these frequencies. In my house and in my godparents' house, we start with the ancestor. You have to do any spirit work without calling on your ancestors, your grandparents, your great-grandparents on both sides, known and unknown, is dangerous. They know you. They know the end and the beginning while you work the middle, and they can bring that divine protection. They can bring that divine influence. Many of us, including myself, have been protected along our spiritual journey only on the shoulders of our ancestors.
So how do you know? Mm-hmm. Well,
how do you know?
Yeah, as far as being able to hear something from spirit or to know if it's the right direction or if it's the wrong direction, because I kind of perceived everything as just, okay, it's a cleansing process. Maybe a lot. My hair fell out.
Mm-hmm.
I was growing my hair for 3 years, and my hair fell out. Like, not to the root, but I have to start all over again with everything. So, I mean.
You are. There's a couple of things happened with you. First of all, you are truly called. God is with you no matter what. Your ancestors are with you no matter what, so have no fear. But because of that, you're going to be battled, just like I was battled, just like Goddess was battled. You know, I left home at 14. I was forced into the street to keep me from getting where I am today. So, yes, you've opened yourself up to a lot of stuff. We haven't even discussed, you know, where you're getting the formula for the spiritual bath. That plays a role. You know, you could be mixing some herbs together that could be taking out your hair. You know, we can't look at all of that on the air, but these are things that you need to consider. And people who are listening now who are in the same position as you need to consider. By all means, get with me off air. There are several aspects to this that are personal that I'm just not going to talk about on the air, but I can hear. It's calling out to me. I can see it. And you know. And I want to air all of that on the air. But you definitely have got to get some clarity. And you ask, how do you do that? You've got to start first with your ancestors. You gather as much information as you can. You seek out the older people in your family. You ask for some names. You write those names down. You get obituaries at every turn. You know, I'm known in my family. I might not show up for the funeral, but I'm going to call and ask that you mail me that obituary. Because often information about our family that we don't know be in the obituary. You know, we know the family member as TT, and then we find out at the funeral that the name was something else, you know, because that's how families do. So that's a strong conduit, a connection point to your ancestral history. If you can, and it's available, go back as far as you can. My ancestral ground here is in Louise, Mississippi, and in Bugaloose, Louisiana. I could still go there and dig up dirt from my great-great-grandparents' ground, even though it's a cotton field there now. But I can still go there and access that connection. These things need to be on that altar. And again, choose some godparents, some elders that can lead you. And they're going to give you even more specifics about how to build this altar, how to access it, and how to communicate with them. It's one thing to be intuitive and to be empathic, and we are all intuitive and empathic to a certain degree, but we also need to have basic forms of divination in order to access these spirits and communicate with them. And everyone cannot use the same forms of divination, particularly if you have not been initiated or given the rights, if you will, to use that form. But then there are forms that all of us can use. Obi is one of those forms that anyone can use to get basic communication going with these forces and with these spirits. Even in church, many of us grew up hearing, you have to question the spirit. You have to question the spirit to know, is it of God? Is it for your good? Is it there to benefit you? Any religious practitioner who's delving into the realm of spirit has to have that process in place. Whatever your religion is, has to have that in place when you start dealing with spirit. So you definitely have opened your house up to some spirit. I would also suggest some cleansing, not only of your body, yourself, your mate, anyone else who may be dwelling in the house, but also the house itself during this process, so that you can keep the energy, if you will, moving. Another aspect to my topic about time traveling, time is very specific to location. And that's why in feng shui, it's important not to block pathways of energy in your living space, in your business space, in any of your realm of activity, because it can keep us stuck or cause us to create gaps in time space that can then bring in things that we don't need or slow down our process to things that we do need. So I'm definitely here for you. Please, by all means, send me a formal request. As I said to Mary Lou, don't send it through Block Talk. I'm almost sure I have close to 7,000 emails in my Block Talk box, and I just can't get through them. So send it to me on Facebook or even go directly to my Divine Prince at houseofdivineprince.com and send me an email. Remind me who you are. And I will by all means help you to not only get some clarity and regain some balance, but regain that which you've lost in the process.
Okay. And what's your contact information on Facebook?
Facebook.com/The Divine Prince.
The Divine Prince. Okay. All right, well, I look forward to it. I'm going to send my information. And, again, I'm Tasha from Atlanta, so I'm hoping that you'll remember me.
Okay. I sure will. I'll be looking forward to it. Peace and blessings.
Thank you for your time today. I appreciate it.
Always a blessing, Ashe.
Ashe.
how they grow and how they continue to develop.
our bodies, our minds, if you will, are crystallized grids of reality, of color, of energy, of vibration. So there are many aspects, as I said before we started taking calls, that I can go into about this topic that could take a year or more of daily discussion to cover. So I'm going to attempt to make the process as easy to understand as possible to a wide range of listeners and practitioners while reaching deep into the consciousness of those who are prepared for higher science, a higher level of understanding, and doing that simultaneously here through the show. One of the things I need to explain are the crystal systems. As I said, there are many variations of a crystal. All crystals aren't formed genetically, chemically, mathematically in the same way. And they are generally thought to be seven crystal systems according to their point groups, or seven lattice systems according to the gridding, if you will, of the energy and how it moves through the crystal, through the formation of the crystal and the resulting crystal. Being mindful that even a piece of the stone, of the crystal, holds the vibration of the whole thing. Even when damaged, even when broken, even when chipped, just like DNA holds the vibrational pattern, if you will, of the entire body system or the entire biological system. So we have the hexagonal and the trigonal crystals, rhombohedral crystals. Some of them have three sides, four sides, five sides, six sides, and different locations for the point. And they, in turn, then affect energy in different places, on different levels, and for different reasons, depending on what we are seeking to manifest, what we are seeking to crystallize. And this information that I share about crystals do not necessarily require, you know, a quartz crystal or amethyst crystal in order to perform them. Because, again, life itself is crystalline. We are crystalline. So even understanding this science and then being able to apply it internally, mentally, spiritually, at the conscious level can have and will have many of the same resulting effects as actually working with crystal itself. I tend to look at crystal as a tool. We as humans are biological. We are perfect and imperfect. So too are crystals perfect and imperfect. But that vibration is perfect, cannot be shattered, cannot be chipped away, cannot be damaged. But once we can learn to vibrate at an even consistent level, we can do wondrous, powerful things in presence of our stones as well as remotely without having the stone present with us. Ashe. So today, as well as in coming shows, we are going to continue to cover several sub-categories, if you will, that will better help you to understand time travel, what it is, how it works, and why we are all natural time travelers. I also want to take the time quickly before we do run out of time. We have about 19 minutes left in the show. Remind you to join us tomorrow here on Blog Talk Radio at 12 noon U.S. Central Standard Time for IFA Wednesdays with the House of Divine Prince Type Potions and Hoodoo Central. Of course, my co-hosts, Ojalola Ifa Sakin and Oba Osabile Lajuba Ifa out of Georgia, and Oba Femi or Gunwa and Orisha Lifestyle from California. And on occasion, my godfather, Babalawo or Awo Oguntulu Ifatoke Akimana, and my godmother, Iolosha Yeye Shango Tosin Akinlana, also known as Mama Yeye, and many other local and international Awos, Iolosha, and experts and historians and Babalawos of Ifa, Santeria, Lakomi, and the generations. So continue to support Ifa Wednesdays. It's become widely successful beyond what I could have ever have asked or thought. And we will be present tomorrow for Ifa Wednesday at 12 noon U.S. Central Standard Time here on Blog Talk Radio. The live listening and calling number is area code 347-215-8967. So do continue to join us here every day at 12 noon for the Power Lunch. Hoodoo, New Orleans, Voodoo Secrets and Recipes, and always on Wednesdays for Ifa Wednesdays. All of this information, all of who I am, who I've become, why I've studied, why I've initiated, why I went to college and majored in Pan-African Studies, were for a selfish reason, which I'm going to assume fuels many of your being present, and that is for self-evolution. Now, ultimately, self-evolution leads to community evolution, global evolution, world evolution, if you will. We cannot help others until we help ourselves. We cannot heal others without healing ourselves. It's a cyclical process. Time is cyclical. Time is eternal and infinite. So the process of giving, receiving is infinite. We are God. We are human. We are in the process of evolution. We are evolved. We are under-evolved. We are all of those things now, in this moment, because we are time travelers by nature. It's who we are. It's part of the process. It's a part of the science. It's a part of the dynamic. It is natural to us to traverse time. Funny, it's one of the least studied, least talked about things on a mass scale. We can choose to go into certain sciences, certain traditions, and, of course, be exposed to levels of understanding about time, excuse me, physics, and other aspects that make this whole thing work. But generally speaking, it's not something that we're taught, that we're given access to understanding. Though we all dream, we all experience deja vu, we all experience gaps in time, you know, going into a meditation, if you will, driving on a highway, if you will, and not remembering getting from point A to point B. I did that once, driving a truck from Chicago to Atlanta. And the last, 200 miles, I'll say, of the trip. At some point, I pulled off at a truck stop outside of Atlanta, 200 miles outside of Atlanta. Took a power nap. I think I slept maybe an hour, 45 minutes, got up, got back on the road, and then did not remember that last leg of the journey. So it's something that we all experience naturally. We all experience time traveling in unnatural ways, drugs, alcohol, illness, certain forms of deprivation. Anyone who's ever been incarcerated, who has been limited in their exposure to light, to sun, to air, knows about time traveling, experiencing odd occurrences in time, losing time, going back in time, moving forward in time. Some of us who have experienced forms of depression, other forms of mental illness, have been time traveling. Know what it is to be stuck in the past or stuck in a certain event or stuck in a future frame of reference that has not come yet. So, again, it's natural to who we are. It's natural to the process. What is not given naturally is our understanding of it and how we should operate within it and how we should make it to work for us. And indeed, I believe it's the will of God and Goddess and the divine creators that we have that understanding. It's critical to why we're here and how we're here and how we identify even being here. We all play around with different ideas about time, about the purpose of life, about why, you know, we're even on the planet. Some would say, if we are on the planet, how do we know that this isn't a dream? How do we know that, you know, that we aren't a part of someone else's dream, a vision? I say that we are, and we are not, simultaneously, because we are interdimensional time travelers and time dwellers. We already exist within that which is, and exists within that which is not simultaneously. Our ability to envision that which could be, which should be, which would be, which has already been, is a part of the evidence of our ability to travel interdimensionally and travel and sort of play around with time. So my ultimate goal over the long term is to not only re-educate you about this thing, time, and how it works, but also to empower you to be better healers, better spiritualists, better psychics, better magicians, better practitioners as it relates to the science of spirituality and religion, which includes our understanding of time dimensions and the process of crystallization, which as we move forward, you will hopefully begin to understand are intricately linked, just as science is now beginning to understand that time and space are intricately linked. So too are the sciences, the arts, and the understanding that go along with crystal. And that's why crystal is such a powerful, central part of everything that I do. I've gotten fan mail, I've gotten hate mail about my usage of crystal and people's understanding, understanding, and misunderstanding about what it is and how that works and why that is a critical part of what I do, whether it's through voodoo, whether it's through Ifa, whether it's through Lakomi. Crystal, mineral, stone is essential to the process. It's an intricate part of the mystery. And as an adherent to the mystery, there's certain secrets I will not violate. But those of you out there who are authentic holders of pots, who are authentic holders of these initiations, you know that crystal, mineral, stone, no matter how little our understanding, is a central part of having a complete body to these deities, to these Orisha, to these Lawa. So they're interconnected. We're just miseducated about their interconnectedness. For you lovers of Kemet, I indeed am a lover of Kemet, lover of ancient Egypt. That was the first thing that stood out to me. Everything over here is carved in stone, not just dead, lifeless rock, but vibrant, ever-living rock, gems, precious gems, stones, minerals, turquoises and rubies and diamonds and sapphires and even faience, which is the science of melting down crystal and mineral to create a natural form of glass, which is how many of the pieces that we see are colored. The colored headdress that we all associate with King Tut. The reds and the blues and the greens are powdered, heated, melted down, recrystallized glass made from malachite, made from turquoise, made from stone, made from alabaster. Why? Why? And why does that not scream out as unusual to you in the way that it screamed out as unusual to me? So I began my journey not only in the church, but then as I transitioned from it, My journey began in stone and in crystal. And it was through using stone and crystal that it made me much more able to receive the information, to receive the downloads, to receive the programming, if you will, that comes with these deep metaphysical, quantum metaphysical sciences and understanding. To look at it in a linear sense, in a logical sense, you'll spend the rest of your life going crazy. Some things require faith, but faith without works is dead. Faith without operative information is foolishness. So in order for our faith to work, we've got to be able to make some of this stuff make sense. And that requires us moving into our higher vibratory state, into our God consciousness. You can't eat BS. The dead carcasses of animals, the pus and mucuses of cows and chickens, synthesized, processed, artificial, contaminated, polluted, and then think you're going to operate in God consciousness. You can't continue to take in junk in our music, on TV, what we see, what we hear, you know, the gossip, the propaganda, the BS. And it's everywhere, even in the conscious community, even in the religious community, even in the Facebook community. It's everywhere. The only way to shut it off and shut it out is to shut it off and to shut it out from within. It all starts from within. And then we're able to navigate without being tricked back into that. But in order to grow and to evolve, whatever your choice is, because understand, I have listeners of every religious denomination listening to this, from every religious path and tradition, from West Africa, East Africa, North Africa, South Africa, the Americas, listening to this. And they all can get what it's for them to get based on where they are. Masters of time travel. That's what it's all about. So I'm quickly running out of time. Again, I'm always humbled, honored, appreciative by each and every one and your divine, all-blessed God presence here in this squared circle with the divine prince and the power lunch, hoodoo, New Orleans voodoo secrets and recipes. We will come back tomorrow with Ifa Wednesdays, and my special co-host, at least two will be here. We know for sure. Ojalola Ifa Sakin and Obafemi Oregunwa will be present. Olo Dumare, bless. My godparents may or may not be present, depending on what their schedule is. And of course, I always invite you to join me in Congo Square here in this beautiful enchanted city of New Orleans, Louisiana. And until tomorrow, as always, I remind you that all is indeed a blessing if we can just see beyond the veil. For it is all just an illusion, it's all just an attempt, and one of the greatest divine mysteries of this life cycle. Until tomorrow, Ai Bobo and Ashe.
Oh, my. Agua, mi,
agua, mi,